Hello, okay, let's get cracking. Today we are continuing in the fourth parak of Maseches Challah. Today we're going to be learning parak Dalet Mishnah Zayin and parak Dalet Mishnah Ches. Today we're going to begin a discussion regarding the various areas of Eretz Yisrael that are considered part of Eretz Yisrael for the purposes of Challah and which are not. We're going to begin discussing an area called Syria, which is a country located in, which it's now really considered the northern part of Syria, along the banks of the Euphrates River. And this area was conquered and ultimately added to Eretz Yisrael by David HaMelech. Now, since this conquering of Syria took place before all of Eretz Yisrael was completely conquered and divided, Syria does not have the status of Eretz Yisrael according to the halacha on a d'oraisa level. We're going to have two machloksim in our Mishnah regarding the status of fruits in Syria, one of which will have to do with challah, says the Mishnah. Yisrael shahayu arisin la'ovdei kochavim b'Syria, regarding Jews who were sharecroppers in the fields of Syria, that they were the fields themselves were owned by non-Jews, but the Jews would work on the fields, and as part of their compensation, their payment for the field, for their work, they would receive the produce from these fields in Syria. So the question is, are these fruits in Syria obligated in Trumas and Maestros or not? Are they obligated in Shemitah as well? Normally the halacha is that Maeser and Shemitah does not apply anywhere outside of Eretz Yisrael. What's the status of these fruits in Syria? Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, Mechayiv, Perusein, B'Maestros V'Shvias. Says Rabbi Eliezer, these are the produce on a midrabanan level are obligated in Maeser and Shemitah, because at the end of the day, on a midrabanan level, Syria and Eretz Yisrael, according to Rabbi Eliezer, are the same. However, Rabbi Gamliel, Poter, Rabbi Gamliel disagrees and says no, that this area of Syria, these produce, sharecroppers, are exempt, they're not obligated in the halachos of Maeser and Shemitah on a midrabanan level, because again, he believes that on a midrabanan level, Syria is not, it's really Syria, the halacha of Syria is only the Eretz Yisrael when it comes to land that is entirely owned by Jews, not here where the land itself is owned by the non-Jews and the Jews are simply working on the field. Now we're going to continue to discuss the halacha as it pertains to challah. The halacha of challah in Eretz Yisrael, like we've been saying, is you have to separate 1/24th, 1/48th, depending on the type of dough that you have. You have to separate the challah and give it to the kohen. However, while there's no, when it comes to challah outside of Eretz Yisrael, while there's certainly no Torah obligation outside of Eretz Yisrael to separate challah, the rabbis decreed that there are actually two portions of challah that must be separated outside of Eretz Yisrael. One of the portions has to be burnt, the other one has to be given to a kohen. So we're going to see in our Mishnah what the halach is when it comes to Syria and challah. Does that one challah, is that two challahs, is it part of Eretz Yisrael, or is it part of outside of Eretz Yisrael of Chutz La'aretz? It says the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel, Omer Rabbi Gamliel says, Shtei Chalos B'Syria. You got to separate two portions of challah when it comes to a dough in Syria. At the end of the day, it's considered to be outside of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Rabbi Eliezer says, no, challah achas, only one portion of challah is separated in Syria, because again, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Syria is treated like Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, who do we postulate? The Mishnah says, Achazu kulo shel Rabbi Gamliel, the kulo shel Rabbi Eliezer. Originally, the people followed both the lenient opinions, both of Rabbi Gamliel, meaning to say, regarding Maestros and Shemitah, that this sharecropping fruit is not obligated in Maestros and Shemitah. But so that's in terms of that. And they also follow the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, namely that regarding challah, regarding challah, at the end of the day, it's one challah, and we're going to treat it like Eretz Yisrael. Now, this is a contradictory approach, because according to Rabbi Gamliel, it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it is part of Eretz Yisrael. That's a contradictory approach. It's a tarti disas, right? And it doesn't make sense to follow this, to follow both opinions. Lakula, either we hold that Syria is part of Eretz Yisrael, or behold, that Syria is not part of Eretz Yisrael. So, therefore, says the Mishnah, Chazru linhu kedivrei Rabbi Gamliel b'shtei derachim. Therefore, when they realized that their approach was inconsistent with one another, they changed their minhag and they followed the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, who assumed that Syria is not like Eretz Yisrael in both areas. Number one, the sharecroppers of Syria did not observe the halachos of Maaser and Shemitah when it comes to their fruits in Syria, but they did separate two challah portions, because again, if it's not part of Eretz Yisrael, then you have to separate the two portions of challah. Now continuing now with Perek Dalet, Mishnah Ches. On a mitzvah arisa level, like we just said, the mitzvah of challah applies only in Eretz Yisrael, and only when most of the Jews are actually living in Eretz Yisrael. Now, like we did say, however, the rabbis require that challah be separated even nowadays and even outside of Eretz Yisrael. However, the obligation of separating challah nowadays sort of depends on different areas, different regions of Eretz Yisrael. Number one is when Yehoshua conquered Eretz Yisrael after the Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, he made this what we call Kiddush Rishon, this first level of Kedusha, this first level of sanctification when it came to the lands that he conquered. However, this sanctification, this Kedusha ended once the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jews went into Galus in Bavel. However, 70 years later, when the Babylonian exile, when the Galus Bavel returns to Eretz Yisrael, all the Jews came back to Eretz Yisrael under the leadership of Ezra. They came back, they reconquered much of the land, not all of the land, but they came back and they reconquered much of the land that Yehoshua had previously conquered and sanctified the rest of the areas of Eretz Yisrael. This second sanctification, this second level of Kedusha, this Kiddush Shnia, according to the opinion of the Rambam, and really according to the opinion that we seem to hold by, is Eretz Yisrael, that the Kedusha, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, that would last for generations to come, and that would remain permanent as part of Eretz Yisrael. So, there are really three regions when it comes to challah. Number one is the areas that Yehoshua sanctified, that when he left the Mitzrayim, when they entered into Eretz Yisrael with those who left Mitzrayim mostly, and then that the same area was re-sanctified by Ezra, and that's still holy today. The second area is the area that was sanctified only by Yehoshua, but which was holy until the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but it was not re-sanctified by Ezra. And the third section are lands that were conquered neither by Yehoshua nor by Ezra, and that really never became holy, right? So these are going to be the three different regions, the three different areas, and we're going to see how the halacha of challah applies in each situation, says the Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel says, Shalosh Aratzos, the challah, there are three regions when it comes to the halachos of challah. The first region, again, is going to discuss the area that both Yehoshua and then later Ezra sanctified and is still holy today. Says the Mishnah, Me'eretz Yisrael v'yad Kiziv, challah achas. In the area of Eretz Yisrael until the city of Kiziv, one portion of challah is separated, which is given to the Kohen, like we've been saying until now. It's eaten by him, and it must be eaten b'tahara, in a pure type of a way. That's a simple thing that we've been learning until now, challah in Eretz Yisrael. However, the second region, which was conquered by and sanctified by Yehoshua, but not by Ezra. So what's the status of the challah in this area? Mikziv v'yadnar v'yadamana shtei challah, says the Mishnah. In this area from Kiziv and the east until the Euphrates River, and from Kiziv west until the mountains of Ammana. It's unclear exactly where this is, but there's some maps in some of the Mishnahs that might be helpful, which was originally part of Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't conquered by Ezra. The halacha is two challah portions must be separated from here again, achasla, or one of the challah separations must be burnt in the fire. After all, this is considered to be tumas eretz ha'am, there's impurity. The rest of the world, the non-Eretz Yisrael parts of the world, have a certain level of tumah, have a certain level of impurity, and therefore it has to be burnt. It can't be eaten. That section of challah must be burnt. The achas lekohen, but one is given to the kohen as well. Why? Why is one part given to the kohen? As the Bartanura points out, that people should understand that the one that is being burnt in the fire is because of tumah. Meaning to say, many people do not realize that this area is tameh. Right? At one point, it was a holy. Yehoshua did conquer it, so it had kedusha, it had holiness of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore burning the challah of this area may lead people to think, oh my gosh, the challah that is tahor may be burnt. Therefore, the rabbi said absolutely not. that an additional portion still has to be given and separated to the Kohen. It doesn't have sanctity, it doesn't have Kedusha, it can be eaten even by Tamei people, but at least people will understand that there must be a reason why the first portion was burnt and not also given to a Kohen. They will therefore hopefully realize on their own that the first part of the Challah, the first separation of Challah is burnt because of the Tumas Eretz Ha'am, because the land is Tamei, and again then this other portion is given to the to a Kohen, but again it can be eaten even in a state of Tumah, even in a state of impurity. And says the Mishnah, Shel'ur Yesh Lashir, the one burnt in the fire must have this minimum measurement, like we've discussed. It's the 1/24th of this 1/48th. Vishal Kohen Lashir, but the portion, the separation that is given to the Kohen does not have to have any minimum amount of measurement. That's completely fine. As at the end of the day, and when it comes to just like in the region of Eretz Yisrael, that was re-sanctified by Ezra, a portion of at least 1/24th or 1/48th has to be given, is separate in this region as well, which was not re-sanctified, and that is the halacha in this region that was sanctified by Yehoshua, but not by Ezra. Continuing now with this third section, the third region that was never conquered by anyone, not part of Eretz Yisrael at all. What is the halacha when it comes to that? Min hanar umin hamana v'lifnim shtei chalos. From the riverbank, from the Euphrates River, and from the foot of the Amana Mountains, inward, toward the river, east, and toward the mountains, the west, right, meaning the entire area, from the riverbank into the river and beyond, and from the foot of the mountains into the mountains and beyond, two challah portions must be separated. Again, achas l'or, one should be burnt. V'achas l'kon, one should be given to the kohen. Shel or ein lashir, the one that is burnt in the fire has no minimum amount. You could burn any amount. Vishel kohen yesh lashir, but the amount that's given to the kohen should have a minimum amount. And what's interesting is challah is separated in this particular region, which again was never part of Eretz Yisrael, is not at all similar to the challah on a daraisa level, right? Both the sections, both of these two portions that are being separated, are clearly midrabbanan, are clearly rabbinic in nature. Therefore, the rabbis preferred applying the requirement to separate the minimum amount, again, either 1/24th or 1/48th, to the portion given to the kohen, which will at least be eaten, rather than to the portion that will be burnt. In this case, the minimum amount of challah required for the portion that will be eaten, again, is that 1/48th amount, regardless of whether it's being made for personal use or for sale. Now we're going to present, as the Mishnah continues, a situation where a single portion suffices, even in this third region, where you just have to give one portion and not two. It says the Mishnah, Utvul Yom Ochla, that when it comes to a Tvul Yom, a Kohen or a member of his family, who's a Tvul Yom. Tvul Yom is someone who immersed in the mikvah, a man who immersed in the mikvah to purify himself after he had some sort of an impure discharge. Even after immersing, a Tvul Yom retains his trace of tumah for the rest of the day, and therefore he may not, on a daraisa level, eat challah until that night. However, since challah outside of Eretz Yisrael is only midrabbanan, the rabbis permitted a Tvul Yom to eat it. Similarly, a Kohen as well, who became Tameh from an external source, where he touched something that was Tameh, and so on, may eat challah from outside of Eretz Yisrael, even if he is not yet immersed in the mikvah. Only Kohen who became Tameh through bodily discharge, through some sort of an inappropriate discharge, a liquid coming from his body, then is forbidden to eat this type of challah. So we have a Tvul Yom that otherwise would have been burnt in the fire, meaning the challah that otherwise would have been burnt in the fire, meaning to say, we must burn the first portion of challah and give a second portion to the Kohen only when there is no Kohen available who has immersed to purify himself from this tumah. If a Kohen who has immersed is there, the portion that would have been burnt is given to him to eat, and there is no need to separate a second portion at the end of the day. However, there's going to be a more lenient view. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, no, eino tzarach tevila. He does not even need to immerse himself in the mikvah in order to eat challah outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's all, Rabbi Yossi assumes that since challah outside of Eretz Yisrael is only midrabbanan, it may be eaten even by a kohen who is tamei and has not immersed in the mikvah at all. However, our Mishnah is going to conclude now with the assumption back in accordance with the Tanakhama, the Asura Lizavim Velazavas Lenidli Vilyoldos Chala separated outside of Eretz Yisrael according to the Tanakhama, and that's how we seem to paskin, is at least the portion that's burnt is forbidden to a Kohen or to a member of his household who is a Zav, a Zava, Anid, any or woman who has given birth, right? Any of these women who are Tameh, if only available Kohenim or members of their household are Tameh with similar types of impurities of Tumah, two portions of Chala must be set aside. One portion is burnt, and the other portion may be eaten even by Kohanim or Tameh with these types of Tumah. Now, the Mishnah is going to conclude by discussing the various prohibitions that do not that do not exist when it comes to the Chala that is eaten outside of Eretz Yisrael. Normally, Chala of Eretz Yisrael is subject to a number of restrictions. A Kohen may not eat Chala of Eretz Yisrael on a table where a non-Kohen is eating, because we're concerned that maybe the non-Kohen is going to come and eat the Chala. It's also not allowed to give the Chala of Eretz Yisrael to a Kohen who is not careful to observe in the laws of Tumah and Tahara. Maybe he's going to make the Chala Tameh. So there as well. But however, the Mishnah is going to teach us now that these prohibitions do not apply to the Kohen's portion of Chala outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'ne'achel, says the Mishnah, v'ne'achel as im hazar al ha-shulchan. This dough that was separated from outside of Eretz Yisrael, again, it's only midrabbanan in nature, it's only rabbinic in nature. It may be eaten by a Kohen along with a non-Kohen at one table. The Chacham did not forbid this due to the concern of the non-Kohen may eat the Chala. And if you need tennis, lechol Kohen, it may be given to any Kohen, even to one who is not careful to eat chulin only under a situation of tahar. Because again, we're more makel, more leaned anyway when it comes to Chala that was separated outside of Eretz Yisrael. Have a great day.